Good morning, everyone. My name is Scott Simpson, and I'm the Director of Public Advocacy for Muslim Advocates. Today's call comes in advance of the first-ever vote scheduled on a Muslim civil rights bill, the No Ban Act. On today's call are leaders in the fight to ensure full equality and dignity for American Muslims and for all communities, and for champions of the No Ban Act. On the call, we have Congresswoman Judy Chu, the lead sponsor of the No Ban Act. We have Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, a co-sponsor of the No Ban Act, and Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, also a co-sponsor. I believe that they were all original co-sponsors on the No Ban Act. I'm also joined with Farhana Kira, Executive Director of Muslim Advocates. The speakers' presentations will not be long, and after they present, there will be a chance for Q&A. I'm now pleased to introduce Farhana Kira, Executive Director of Muslim Advocates. Farhana?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Farhana Kara, and I'm the Executive Director of Muslim Advocates, a national civil rights organization that has led the No Ban Act Coalition, an alliance of national and local civil rights, faith, and community groups working tirelessly for almost 2 years now to support passage of this important bill. Tomorrow, the House of Representatives is scheduled to vote on the No Ban Act. This necessary bill would end President Trump's Muslim and African ban and prevent future presidents from enacting similar discriminatory bans ever again. Right now, the same Republicans who are using racism to distract from President Trump's failures by blaming China for the coronavirus are also trying to stop a vote on the No Ban Act. We cannot let them win. Racism is not a disinfectant. And the facts in a simple reading of the bill show that there is nothing in this bill that would hinder a response to the coronavirus. In fact, it is more important than ever to pass this bill. Tomorrow's vote would be historic for the American Muslim community. When it passes, the No Ban Act will be the first Muslim civil rights bill ever passed by a chamber of Congress. And because of the ban, today, likely millions of American families have been separated from their loved ones. Sick people have been denied life-saving medical treatment. And scientists, academics, engineers, and doctors have been kept out of the country at a time when we need them most. And why? Because the Trump administration wants to redefine who gets to be an American by excluding Muslims, Africans, immigrants, and people of color. The No Ban Act strikes at the heart of President Trump's bigoted, radical immigration agenda. Hatred towards communities of color have always been a driving force of this administration, and the Muslim and African ban stands as a shameful, shameful symbol of that hate. But after tomorrow's historic vote, the U.S. House of Representatives could be on record opposing this ban for the first time ever. This historic achievement is a watershed moment in the political evolution of the American Muslim community. Our community and our allies made calls, held meetings, organized petitions, and poured our blood, sweat, and tears into this bill. The No Ban Act has more than 220 House co-sponsors, and we had to fight to secure the support of many of them, sometimes going door to door to help members of Congress who have never legislated for American Muslims ever before to find the courage necessary to take a stand. I want to deeply, deeply thank Congresswoman Chu for her steadfast leadership on this bill. She, along with Representatives Tlaib and Omar, have been instrumental in making tomorrow's vote happen, and we are so grateful for their leadership. But it's not just them. Members who could not join today, like Representatives Carson, Jayapal, Rose, Nadler, and Lofgren, as well as Senator Coons, are all leaders in this fight, too. On behalf of the American Muslim community and the millions of American families separated from their loved ones today, we thank you.
Thank you, Farhana. I'll now turn the call over to Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, an original co-sponsor of the No Ban Act. Congresswoman Omar.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to first thank Farhana Kara and Congresswoman Judy Chu. and Senator Coons for their steadfast commitment to having this legislation move and to restoring hope for so many Muslims in this country. As soon as tomorrow, the House of Representatives will pass the NOPAC Act, the No Ban Act, a historic bill to repeal all three versions of the president's Muslim ban to prohibit discrimination on the basis of religion and to restore the separations of power enshrined in our Constitution by limiting overly broad executive authority to issue future travel bans. It's hard to believe that over 3 years ago, President Donald Trump first issued the executive order banning people from seven Muslim-majority countries from entering the United States of America. With these bans, the president will not just violate the Constitution and subject thousands of refugees and immigrants to danger in their home countries. He fanned the flames of hate, and it's making all American Muslims feel like we are supposed to be powerless. So tomorrow will probably be a sweet victory for all of the people in Minnesota and across this country who came together outraged at the president's action on that day. And it's going to be a proof that their energy can be used to actualize in legislation and will do something about the impact that his ban has had on all of us. As the only member of Congress born in one of those banned countries and has relatives in another, I know firsthand how destructive this policy is to millions of people around the world who want to come to America to seek a better life. Families who haven't been able to see their loved ones and have been separated from them will have an ability to see accountability happen in the United States. I want to also be clear that this fight is not going to be over after we get this legislation passed in the House. We will continue to fight for Muslim families and communities to pursue legal avenues on behalf of those impacted. And I want everyone around the world to know that despite the words and actions of the current occupant of the White House, the United States of America still remains the land of hope and opportunity. The energy and the excitement that has driven so many Muslims and allies in this country to be able to see this piece of legislation come forward has also given us the ability to inspire and elect the two first Muslim women into Congress. And I know that no matter how harmful the policies of this administration are to our community, no matter how much the Muslim community is used as a scapegoat and is maligned, we will continue to rise and we will continue to make sure that people understand that we are Americans and this is our home and there is space for our families to be united and connected to us in the United States. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Omar. Next, we will hear from another original co-sponsor of the No Ban Act, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. Congresswoman Tlaib.
Thank you all so much. Thank you so much for my wonderful colleagues, especially Congresswoman Chu, who from the beginning took on this courageous fight to push against this form of discrimination against those of Muslim faith. And Senator Coons, who I know has also been championing this in the Senate. Also to the partnership and the coalition building of Muslim advocates who brought in hundreds, if not, I think, close to 200 to 400 organizations across the country to bring people together on this issue and understanding how important it is to us, again, pushing against this type of discrimination. As you all know, I was born and raised in the most beautiful, blackest city in the country, the city of Detroit, where every corner is a reminder of the civil rights movement. And, you know, hearing the stories and many of my neighbors hearing the stories about one of my residents at a press conference in my district of the fact that he has been separated from his son and wife who were left behind in Yemen was something that triggered a lot of folks understanding this country is not disconnected or divided, but disconnected and connecting this othering politics, this kind of politics from this current administration of making people feel less than and not feel like they belong. As you all know, just a month ago, Trump tripled the number of people who are banned. He banned a quarter of all Africans. And again, you know, for many of us, these are millions of American families who are suffering without their loved ones who live abroad. We are people, many of us on this call, Congresswoman Hsu, Sister Ilhan Omar, myself, we have fought to pass VAWA, Voting Rights Act, Equality Act, the American Dream and Promise Act, and it is our responsibility and duty to also include repealing the Muslim ban, which I feel like is so interconnected, again, and pushing back against these dehumanization policies coming out of the current administration. So I'm looking forward to voting on this as one of the first Muslim women elected. I know it is very important to lift up so many people that cannot be in this chamber right now and for us to be able to show them that this type of, you know, what we call hate agenda or hate politics doesn't belong in our country. And again, really pleased with the tremendous amount of work that has been done from all different coalition members that Muslim advocates have been working with to make this a reality. And I know that man that I talked to who spoke at our press conference is truly been impacted and created a lot of trauma for his family to be away from his son for this long. And again, I want to thank again for the leadership of everyone on this call and for the continued support to, again, pushing not only for these wonderful policies, but also making sure that we're not separating those policies from what's going on with Muslim Americans in our country.
Thank you, Congresswoman Tlaib. And finally on the call, we have Congresswoman Judy Chu, who is the original author of the No Ban Act in the House. And after Congresswoman Chu finishes her remarks, we will open up the lines for Q&A. Congresswoman Chu.
Thank you, and thank you to Farhana and Muslim Advocates for inviting me to be on this call on this historic week as we get closer to finally repealing all versions of President Trump's Muslim ban. It's great to be on this call with Congressmembers Omar and Tlaib to talk about the fact that the Muslim bans are not who we are as Americans. They hurt families and hurt our national security, and we must stop this president from overextending his authority and banning people from entire countries simply because of their religion. This cruel ban continues to needlessly tear families apart and cause misery and psychological trauma. Spouses and fiancés are separated. Weddings, births, funerals, and graduations have all been missed. Over 5,000 adopted children of U.S. citizens cannot join their families. What's worse, this suffering is all deliberate and unnecessary. With biometric scans and other advanced measures, America has one of the best vetting systems in the world, which is why even the Supreme Court required the administration to issue visa waivers when they upheld the third version of the Muslim ban. But so far, about 90% of the waiver requests have been denied, demonstrating further that this is not about improving our immigration system. It's about finding a way to ban Muslims, just as candidate Trump promised. And there is no end in sight. Without congressional action, the president will continue to implement broad bans without justification. In fact, on January 31st, 2020, he expanded the Muslim ban to 6 more countries. We cannot let him continue to put forth his xenophobic and racist policies. That is why last spring I introduced H.R. 2214, the No Ban Act, in the House, and Senator Chris Coons introduced a companion version in the Senate.
Our bill would repeal all versions of President Trump's Muslim ban, putting an immediate end to this cruel family separation. And it requires transparency on how many individuals are granted waivers to the ban and allowed to come to the U.S. so that we can know the truth about the actual impact of this policy. Our bill also says that if a president does want to implement such a ban, they will have to produce actual evidence and consult with Congress so that in the future, no individuals are denied entry into the U.S. solely based on their religion or country of origin. The response to the No Ban Act has been tremendous. There are 220 members that have co-sponsored the bill in the House, and there are 40 co-sponsors in the Senate. In addition, over 400 groups have endorsed it, and just last month, a few weeks after the anniversary of the first Muslim ban, the Judiciary Committee favorably voted to send the No Ban Act to the floor. While the schedule for the floor remains in flux this week, we are not giving up. We are committed to ensuring that the bill will be coming to the floor for a vote soon. Thank you again to Muslim advocates for all your hard work in building support for the bill and your leadership in protecting the rights of Muslim Americans.
Thank you, Congresswoman Chu. Greatly appreciate it. And thank you to Congresswoman Tlaib, Congresswoman Omar, and Farhana Kira for presenting on today's call. We'll now move to the Q&A session. And Erica, can you, our operator, can you please cue folks up on how to do that?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, it is the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If at any point you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Again, that is the star and one to ask a question. We'll pause momentarily for questions to queue. Again, that is the star and one. And we'll go first to Shireen Khalil from Middle East Eye. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you all so much for being on this call with us today. GOP leaders have recently called on Speaker Pelosi to pull the legislation over concerns over the coronavirus. They're making a link between the No Ban Act and the government's future ability to close off travel, like, for instance, Italy has done over virus concerns. Can you speak a little bit about why that is not a concern with regards to this bill? And then secondly, to our lawmakers, can you speak a little bit about the importance of passing this sort of legislation in the House despite having a Republican-controlled Senate?
This is Farhana Kara with Muslim Advocates. I'll speak to the first question from the reporter. So a couple of things there. One is it's very clear from the text of the bill that the president is authorized to take steps to suspend or restrict the entry of foreign nationals when it's deemed in the interest of our public safety. And public safety includes public health. And in fact, in the version of the bill reported out of the Rules Committee, there's a clarification to make it absolutely clear that public safety includes communicable diseases as defined by the CDC. But I think most importantly, I think our concern is what the House Republicans are really trying to do is they're trying to just use this genuine health crisis as an excuse to not want to take a tough vote on a bill that they know in their heart of hearts is the right thing to do because their own constituents are suffering. There is a constituent, somebody in somebody's district across this country who is currently separated from a family member, from a child, from a spouse because of the cruelty of this ban. And those House Republicans don't want to have to take a vote for the president against their own constituents who are suffering today. So we think this is just simply an excuse, and it's a frankly pretty poor excuse for the reality that the House Republicans just desperately don't want to be forced to take a vote on this bill. But the right thing to do is to push forward, to have the House leadership put this vote on the floor, and they need to do the right thing and not cave to those House Republicans.
And thank you. And then I do regret to inform folks that both Ms. Chu and Ms. Omer had, for sure had to leave the call. I'm curious if Ms. Tlaib is still on the line. Okay. Well, I do think it's worth noting for the second question that was asked that, you know, this bill, this is the first time that any House of Congress has advanced a Muslim civil rights bill. And that's inherently important, especially in the context of where this country is at right now, where American Muslims are routinely targeted and vilified in the political establishment. And, you know, it sends a very important message that at least the House is standing by American Muslims and respects their dignity and their rights and their full equality under the law just as much as any other community.
And I would just add to Scott's comment that, you know, for bills to become law, they do need to pass both chambers of Congress, and you have to start somewhere. We have overwhelming support for the bill in the House, and that's where we're going to start. We're going to get it passed here, and then we're going to work on the Senate. We already have 39 co-sponsors in the Senate. And we know with momentum coming out of the House, we're just going to be able to build on that support in the Senate.
I know I've only been here, a little bit over a year, but I've never seen this kind of support among all Democrats, no matter, you know, some of the various labels of those that might be considered more progressive than others or moderate, but this is the first time I've seen such a unity around pushing back against this form of discrimination, and it's, been something very inspiring to see.
And with that, we'll close out the call. Thank you all very much. If you have further questions, you are welcome to speak to Eric Nang. And I know everyone on this line has emailed with him. We will also have a follow-up press release. We will have an MP3 of the call also available. And thanks so much. Have a great day.